has a binder on their seat. And we'll go over some of the things in the binder in a few minutes, but if you want to take your binder and put your name on the little thing right here, this little tab, then we can stack them on the table or leave them on your chair, and that way you don't have to take it home if you don't want to. You can leave it here. But everyone should have a binder. Anybody need any pencils or pens or anything? So we're going to do that. I'm going to leave it here. Each week you'll be able to add to it, or the teacher that's teaching will bring in material to put in your binder. So, and then there's an introduction page and a schedule. Our schedule is going to be for 6 weeks, and the week of EBS, we will not have class, and the week of camp that everyone leaves to go to a Bible camp. So we won't have class those 2 weeks, that's all. We'll talk some more about the binders in a minute, I think. So, how many have ever taught a Bible class before? Great. Everybody pretty much has taught a Bible class. How many have never taught a Bible class? Okay. All right. How many have been in a training class before? Okay. How many of you would teach if you felt like you had, all of you have pretty much taught. Since we're going to be teaching you and giving you some ideas and helping you get more confidence, I think it'll help us even desire to teach more in the coming week. So this is going to be kind of exciting. How many have ever taught for more than 50 years? More than 50? Me too. So I'm going to tell you a little story about myself. When I was 18, David and I got married. And we got married. I was 18. We moved to Hawaii. When we got to Hawaii, about 2 weeks in, they came up to me and they said, "We want you and David to teach Bible class." Oh, okay. They wanted me to teach first and second grade, and they wanted David to teach third and fourth grade. So I'm just kind of going, well, okay. I have never taught a Bible class by myself before, ever. I'm 18, newly married. I don't know you. I don't know any of these kids. And you don't know me. So I'm going, okay. So what was wrong with that scenario, do you think?
Not knowing you.
Not knowing me? Very good. Sure, come on up, ladies.
Sorry.
I promise I won't spit on you.
I notice everyone take the back seats.
So the point of that was that I should not have been teaching that Bible class. I had not been trained. I had never taught a Bible class. I was 18. I didn't know them, and I didn't know the kids, and they didn't know me. They didn't know if I was going to be a Bible class teacher or not. And instead of meekly saying, no, thank you, I said, sure. And they gave me a book. And there maybe were 5 or 6 kids there, and that's what I did for the whole time I lived in Hawaii. So, the point is that we don't here put in teachers that have not taught before, have not been trained, or who have not worked with somebody that is a teacher full time. Does that make sense? Yeah, pretty much, doesn't it? So, I expect to learn some new things this quarter. And I hope that you all will too. There's many things that we're going to talk about this quarter. Okay. David, of course, did the PowerPoint for me. These kids I had last quarter with Amy. You recognize any of them? So this was a pleasure to teach these kids. They all have magnifying glasses, and they're all looking for clues. They're all trying to decide what is the clue to seeing what is true in the Bible. And they were looking for clues, and that was the point of the whole quarter. We were teaching apologetics, and we wanted them to see what is important, how to find what's important, and to what is a good thing for them to see. And they really enjoyed it. And I tell you what, that was a great class. We have 6 weeks of material, and I'm hoping that you'll look with a magnifying glass and navigate your way through this 6 weeks of this quarter. So, what we'll learn this 6 weeks. We'll learn classroom setup, we'll learn application, we'll learn curriculum, we'll learn about the resource room, classroom management. I'm sorry, sniffy nose. We'll learn the chronology of the Bible, reinforcement activities, memory work, actual sample classes, and storytelling, and more. The elders have decided that this is something that's very important. There's a lot of ladies who have worked on each section of these topics that we're going to cover. The classroom setup is going to tell you how to decorate your room, how to set it up so that what you're teaching that quarter is going to be seen in the room, how to set it up so that it looks like what the classroom is going to be discussing that quarter. Of course, the application, we're going to give you some ideas and implementation for that. The curriculum is how our curriculum works. Everyone has a binder every quarter, and we're going to talk about how that curriculum and how we've worked it. Somebody has developed our curriculum here, and we're going to go over that. You're going to have a tour of the class of the resource room. There's lots of good stuff in there. The classroom management, there's some teachers that are going to work on that with you, talk about how you take care of your classes and your kids and things like that. We're going to talk about the chronology of the Bible, and that's something I think Dewey has been working on, and she's going to talk about these cards that they have and how to use them. Is that right, Dewey? Better? Anything more?
Yeah.
Okay. Reinforcement ideas, how to reinforce the point, what's the point, and how to make it fun, and the memory work, how to get people to do that. I know the memory verses that I learned when I was young, that's the best ones that I can kind of remember. We're going to have sample classes. We're going to have teachers who actually are going to tell us the stories. They're going to actually show us how they teach, the different ways to teach, the different flannel graphs, PowerPoints, flashcards, Abeka cards. There's so many ways that we can do different ways of teaching. So whether we're actually in the classroom teaching, or whether we're helping, or whether you don't ever go in the classroom, but you cut out flannel graph, you cut out things, you help in the resource room, you file, there's something for everybody to do. And I'm hoping you'll get involved this quarter with all of that. Any questions? Oh, great. Okay, so you saw the rocks in the hallway. I guess everyone saw the rocks, right? Okay, there's a point to that. Turn to Joshua 4, 1 through 7. Somebody like to read that for me? Joshua 4, 1 through 7. Okay, Ashley.
When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodged tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.
Thank you, Ashley. So the stones were a memorial. A little background. This is when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and then they passed over the Jordan. They took the stones and they made a memorial. They made 12 stones. Does anybody remember that story? It is a really good illustration of what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember him. He wants us to teach our children. He wants us to have them see what's important and have these rocks be there for us to remember. The stones were placed there for the children of Israel to remember, and they saw the stones every day. You know, she's not bothering me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to change her diaper.
Okay. At the end of chapter 4, verse 24, it reads, so all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the kids to see these rocks, to see these things as a memorial that they'll never forget. Do you know that when Ruth and Naomi came back from Moab, that Ruth and Naomi probably came across these rocks? Because there was one way to get back into the land of Bethlehem where they were going. And I imagine that Ruth said to Naomi, what are these rocks and what do they mean? And Ruth was able to say to her, these are a memorial for us to never forget what God did for us and how he cut off the River Jordan and how that we could pass through and how God did that for us. That's what we're doing for our kids, trying to get them to see what God has done for us every single day and what we can do. So what do you see these rocks or this memorial or these things? How do you see that in connection to teaching? I may have said it already, but what do you think of? What do you think the rocks or a memorial means to teaching?
That the kids will remember the main points of the lesson you're trying to teach them. So right. Those are the rocks.
They're rocks, right. So they'll remember.
Right.
Right. And that we can say, remember that story about, or we can say, remember this, or remember that. That's right. So that's the point, that be able to remember. Recognize her? This is little Kaya. She's reading her Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. That's what we're trying to get our children to see, to fear the Lord and to begin to understand what's important, and that the knowledge of the Holy One is our insight in Proverbs 9:10. That's our job. We have a big job here. We have a job that's so important and so necessary. And I think we need a reminder, so for us, what is important and to see. That's the purpose of Bible class. And that's the purpose of parents. We support the parents teaching their children at home. That's the job of the parents, to teach them at home. And the teachers are supporting them, helping them to see how important it is to develop the love that they need. That's the fear of the Lord, and to develop their own faith. Doesn't that make sense? That's right, isn't it? Okay. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Psalm 127. We are so blessed to have all of these kids in our Bible classes. They are precious souls to us. They are precious souls that God has given us. They're a heritage from the Lord. And we have a big responsibility to teach these children, to love God, to keep him first. And then hopefully these children will teach other children. I know that I've heard a lot of times kids talking, Camille talking to her friends at school and others, that Peyton bringing her Bible in and saying, I want to show you, you don't say the
oh my God, because that's not a good thing to do. God doesn't like it.
Oh. And so these kids at a young age are teaching other kids. Behind me on the board are a bunch of names and some of our own kids. And as I look at the board, I really hope that all of these children stay faithful. Wouldn't it be so sad to say, we lost this one? Or we can say, we lost this one. In 20 years, wouldn't it be sad to look at this board and say, nope, they didn't make it? We don't want that for our kids. We don't want to erase our kids' names from this board. We don't want to say, no, God, we didn't teach these children to fear you and to love you and to obey you. We don't want that for our kids. And that's so sad. I'm only erasing names of kids that aren't here. But you get the point, right? We don't want to erase any of our own blessed children that are a heritage from the Lord. That's a blessing that God has given us. And we have the responsibility and the great task of doing that. We want all of these children who have been given to us by the Lord to go to heaven. And we want everyone to be a light to God and to help each other get to heaven. Does that make sense? Any thoughts on that? I'm going awful fast. Okay. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6. It's up here if you don't want to turn there. But if somebody would like to read it for me. Rebecca, you want to read it?
Yeah.
All right. You can read it off the overhead if you want.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
We've all read this passage. I know it's familiar to all of us. I know we talked about it in our parenting class last quarter. So what does this passage mean to you? Ange?
That teaching happens all the time.
It does. Anything else?
It's our priority. It's first. It's who we are.
That's right. It's who we are. Yes, Jenny?
We're commanded to do it.
Yes, we are. Commanded. It's something we do all the time. It's our priority. It's who we are. And it's a command. Anything else? Good points. So these are what we're going to be doing. Remembering that God has given us these instructions and that this is so important that we do this all the time, that it's our priority. This is a doorway. On the doorposts of your house. This is something that we have always as a reminder, sort of like the stones. When you go in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're coming in and going out, when you go skiing, when you go play a game, when you say, we're going to take somebody some food. These are things that you're going to do constantly with your children as a reminder. Help them to see what's important. Like Sharon said, it's our priority. It is the most important job as parents, I think, that we have, that's been given to us as a command. Two times during this quarter, each week, we're going to be teaching 45 minutes in this classroom. And you'll stay in this classroom all the time. We're teaching our children to be our future preachers, our future elders, our future preachers' wives, and our future preachers, our future elders' wives. So all of these things, and we're teaching our children to be servants of God, and to love God, And we're doing all of this. Each week we're going to be talking about this. And when you're teaching a Bible class, I would hope that you would not give them coloring pages just to fill the time. I feel like that is the most waste of time in teaching a Bible class. Maybe before they start, but you have 45 minutes to teach these children, and I'll probably get in trouble for that, but don't give them a coloring sheet to teach. That does not teach anything except maybe their colors. But the doorposts of your house, that's something that you do constantly. So what I'm trying to say, let's not waste time. So fast. It goes so fast. Okay. Proverbs 22:6, we've all known, we've all heard. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The point, I think, again, is teach him. Don't miss any opportunities. They won't forget. Psalm 78:5, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. John 13 is the example of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Jesus loved his disciples. He loved them so much, he humbled himself, he served. Each one of us, the first thing I think about is that we need to humble ourselves. When we're teaching our Bible classes here, pray about it, think about it, humble yourself. Think, I have got to do the Lord's work. This is a servant of the Lord that I need to teach. I need to be teaching and serving God. These passages teach us our responsibility to God. We have a big responsibility. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, and we've all received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Pretty plain. I don't have to explain it. We all have gifts. We all have opportunities. We all have things that we need to do, and we need to serve. It's what we should be doing. Proverbs 11:25, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters, he himself will be watered. Have you ever done something and felt like you received more blessing than the person you did it for? Because that's what God has helped us understand. When we teach, we learn so much more when we teach than when we're teaching our kids. Don't you? I find that I learn something much more when I'm teaching a class than when I'm in a class, because I've worked hard. The blessings that we receive back from God are going to come, and we're going to have a part in helping all these beautiful children and precious souls to be faithful. That makes sense. These verses talk about that. Aren't these precious faces? These faces are so precious, and I can tell you from firsthand experience that when I teach, I learn every time I go into the classroom. These little ones teach us something all the time. I remember the story of Griffin when he was about maybe a little earlier than this. Sharon and Roy Bridge were teaching, and they sang the song about Jonah and the big fish. And they sang, who did swallow Jonah? And they said, well swallow Jonah. Well, Griffin had his passy in his mouth, and he put it over to the side, and he goes, did you say whale? And they said, yeah. He goes, it was a big fish. And I, here he was, what, not even two? Yeah, two? And he had gotten the point that it was a big fish. So these kids teach me. Every time I go into class, I have... That first slide I showed you, those kids taught me so much. I tell you what, they are awesome. and they will teach you. It's a good use of my time, and I feel like God wants me to spend my time wisely, and I appreciate people who put in the time. Heather just put up all kinds of signs in the high school class because she said, you know, the classroom looks a little boring. And I said, go for it. And so she used her time wisely and spent her own time and I think her own money and putting those posters up in that classroom that was very special and helped that kid's class. Yep, going fast. That's okay. Okay, so Thursday night was Lexi's graduation. And in the graduation, Mr. Cadenhead, the principal, spoke. And I was listening to his speech, and I was so impressed by something, and he made the point. He said that influencing and teaching these students throughout these years is special. And he said, if you teach it, you must teach it with love. And he likened the love to a cord. And the cord is a cord of love. And each teacher has his own cord. And this cord becomes woven into a blanket. And this was his point. This blanket woven by each teacher done in love is going to cause this blanket to give the student warmth. It's going to give him security. It's going to be a gift. It's going to be a covering, and it's going to be a shield. It's like what we're doing here in our Bible class. I was so impressed with that. I quickly wrote down some of the things he said. And I thought that was so important. We need to teach with love. First, our kids need to know that we love them. When we love them, it's going to be this cord, and it's going to be woven. Do you see the results of this blanket? How it's going to keep you safe and warm and shelter you and cover you and help you, give you strength and shield you. I thought that was a really good point. Have you ever had a favorite teacher? Yeah. Why was the teacher favorite?
She made extra time.
Extra time?
Because she liked me.
Teacher's pet. Why else?
Because taking an interest in me.
Took an interest in you. How did that help you?
Showed me that somebody cared and would ask me questions and wants to know what I need to learn or what I have learned. And kind of like getting to the heart of the individual and not just an entire class.
Right. The heart of each individual. I try to do that when the high school kids come. I try to find out what their interests are and ask them about it, what they've done in track or what they did on their art project or things like that, because they need to know that you love them and that you care about them. And I asked Griffin one day, I know I'm using a lot of examples, but that's the only thing I got. I was driving him to school and I said, Griff, what's your favorite subject? And he said, science. And I go, oh, that changed. I said, why is science your favorite? Because I really like my teacher. And I think most of us realize that when we like the teacher shows an interest in us, that it's personal, that he cares, and that he knows that we know that that teacher wants the very best for us, that that's a priority to him. And that's what we do when we put these cords. We're all going to be a cord. So don't forget that you're part of the blanket. And I thought that was so important for us to remember. Some teachers are your favorite teacher because they don't make you do your homework. But David said he may not have always learned from his favorite teachers. But what we want to do is we want to be these kids' favorite teachers. That's our job. That's our duty. That's our privilege. That's our obligation. To teach these young souls. Do you recognize these little ones? Do you remember this? This is BBS. Isaiah, Will, Lexi, Drew, Rebecca, and Caleb. Sharon made these little coverings for them. And they were the
can't remember exactly what the lesson was, but they were all dressed, ready for the lesson. I think you made them all.
They must have been homeless people.
That's right. So again, this is our obligation to raise these kids up. It's our privilege to do that. It's our obligation. And I see these sweet faces. Now, these faces have grown up, not like the one I showed you earlier, of the one I just took on Wednesday night, of Elle and JoJo, and I can't remember all the ones I saw, but those little ones. Brookie, I think, was in that picture. You probably didn't get to see it. Let me show it to you. There. Yeah. Jack, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The last slide. And then we'll talk about some questions. I'm thankful that at least I got through it. This is your classroom again. This is where you'll be. These will be your binders. Write your name on the back of it, on the little tab. The break, you same teachers. The teachers will rotate through your classroom. Again, we have special teachers that have worked really hard on their part of the lesson that they're going to be bringing to you. Know that we're not experts. There are some expert teachers because they are teachers. Certified by the state of California. Some of them have been teaching a long time, like Karen Smith. But teaching is applicable to all of us as moms and aunts and grandmoms and grandparents and babysitters and hopefully future Bible class teachers, Maggie and Rebecca and, let's see, Lexi, Sydney. You've taught before, though, haven't you, Sydney? Yeah. And Kaylee, right, and Melanie. So, we'll be so excited. Okay, so I have a few little questions we can ask. I don't think we all know each other. I know we have some new faces. Let's go around and say your name, and if you'd like to answer one of these questions, what have you ever taught? What was your favorite age that you taught, and what are you excited to learn? You can talk about one of those things, Sharon, or more, different. We'll start with you.
There's so many classes I love teaching. I was super, I think, I'm so torn because there's so many. I mean, I really enjoy the fifth grade class, and because their minds are really able to understand the concepts, and so I enjoy that. So what else did you ask?
Well, you can talk about all of them if you want. Have you taught? Who's your favorite age, and what are you excited to learn about?
Yeah, they're all my favorite age.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sharon, wait. She never gets out of the classroom. John.
I like to stay more with the littles.
The littles.
So, like, maybe first grade and under. I like first grade because they're really starting to read, and they're eager to read their Bible, and I want to read the passage, and they do really well at their memory work, and... And the littles are fun because we sing a lot.
Yeah.
We sing a lot about the Bible songs and about the Bible
so
story.
And to sing. I didn't mention that, but that is one of the passages that Michelle put up about singing. It's important. That's pretty much an exciting thing. Would you like to?
It's my mom being
here. I'm your mom.
I thought you were, but I didn't want to say that.
I taught for a long time. Sounds like yourself.
Yeah, 50 years.
Yeah. Something, yeah, like that. When I was 16, Dad took me out of high school class and said, we need a kindergarten teacher. And I said, I don't know.
I know.
Been teaching ever since. But I like, much like Sharon, I like the close to middle age and up because I like to watch their light bulbs go on when they get it.
Yeah.
And I like to combine Old Testament and apply it to New Testament, and they really get that.
You know, when they get it, that's called a teaching moment. And when you have a class, and they say something in class, and it's not right on subject, but it's a teaching moment, don't miss those moments. Teach in the moment. And don't try to be so linear that you can't go off script a little bit. And if the kids are asking questions, you don't shut them down. And please, don't ever tell them that was a dumb question. I know that makes sense, but I've been in a class where that was done. And it made the kids not ever want to ask another question. and it shuts down their thinking. Don't ever do that, please. Okay, Heather.
I love teaching. I really enjoyed teaching the Divided Kingdom not that long ago. I got to teach that unit to, I believe it was Calvin's age. And so I liked it because it was all new information, but I also enjoyed the studying of it because it was just a good reminder of those stories and that history in the Old Testament.
So, nice. Yeah. It's fun.
It's good
to
for
learn
me and them.
For them. And that's what I feel like too when I learn something.
Cheryl.
I'm Cheryl Colvin, and I remember the first time I taught Tyler Brown. I thought that kid knows more than I do. This is just unreal, everything, but it was just so neat to just, and then to see him now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So he grew up to be a preacher and a teacher. Yeah. I know in Michelle's class, she's recorded Tyler Brown and some of the others who are adults now and talking about the teachers that they had now. Sorry that you didn't get that. But you got stuck with me. Okay, Jody.
Jody Brimmer. I'm like you. I started teaching when I was 16, so it was like on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot that way. But several years ago, Peggy Daniels and I ended up teaching together. And we have found in ourselves a partnership, and every year we teach together the same quarter, and we can finish each other's sentences. I mean, we
build
off each other. And this is our therapy. When the fall comes around, we look at each other and it's like, we're already signed up because we know it's not only good for the kids, it's good for us.
Isn't that wonderful that you found a partner?
Peggy's just super. I love her. And then Rebecca comes in and helps us.
Yes.
And then my nieces will come in and help us when we need an extra hand. So it's been wonderful. It's just another generation. But we really like the kindergarten, first and second. And what we did a few years ago is we had a class in kindergarten, and then next year we followed them to first.
Ah.
And then the following year we followed them to second. And that was so fun.
Oh, excellent.
To watch them and have that continued connection with them. But, yeah.
Perfect.
I love to tell stories
and
about that age.
I like your thought about getting a partner that you feed off of. That helps.
It really does.
Good teaching partner. Mm-hmm. Our newest member.
So I'm Jenny Matheny. We just moved here from Nashville 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I guess I've been teaching the last 10 or 12 years, primarily second or two-year-old, and I've taught first and second grade, and I just finished. I had to have somebody fill in the last 2 weeks for me in Brentwood at our church there. Fourth, fifth, and sixth grades. I think that's so far been my favorite. We studied Moses and Wandering Through the Wilderness. And that was, like Heather was saying, that was a really good reminder for me of what happened during the Old Testament, and that was the first time the kids had studied it. So that was really fun. I enjoyed
nice.
That age group.
Very nice. So Jenny's only been here 2 weeks. We're probably not going to ask Jenny to start teaching next week.
Well, so at Brentwood, we have a 6-month waiting period so that we can get to know that thing. So I've already,
Yes. And
give me 6 months.
And these are all being recorded. So that when you go in to teach, if you go, I wish I could remember what she actually said in class about, and then you can go get the recording and download it and listen to it again, and that'll be a refresher for you. So that's good news.
So you're recording when they come in and do a presentation for us, not to know
exactly
what to do in the classroom.
Exactly. They are recording it.
Oh, right now, too? Can we rewind?
I agree. I think David did that on purpose because I said, they're recording it in Michelle's class. We don't need to record it in here. Jenny, I'm going to skip you girls because I know you're not teachers yet.
I've taught.
This is Jenny.
I'm Jenny.
Another Jenny.
Babies up to probably around fifth grade-ish, and I probably like the little bit older, like middle age, because I like them to be able to cut and use scissors and write their names and that kind of stuff. But I do like the interaction with the little bit older kids because you really do start seeing them like get it and ask really interesting questions and start to apply things really to like, well, this
it
kid
is.
At my school did this,
yes,
and now, you know, that's not okay. And then, you know, so they do start really like applying a lot of things to their own lives. Yeah.
Thank you. Lexi, did you have any teaching experience you want to talk about? Angie, I know you do.
Yeah. Um, yeah,
Yeah, well, I can't decide either what my favorite is, although I really, really love the kindergartners. They're just fun. And they say some of the funniest things.
You learn a lot.
Jake, I want to tell what Jacob Woodside said. I have to. When he was little, and we were talking about, oh, goodness, now I can only remember the name he said. The lady who sewed clothes.
Lydia.
Dorcas.
Oh, sold purple. I was thinking Lydia.
Yeah, and so we talked about Dorcas on Tabitha or Dorcas, but we in the story called her Dorcas. And that was Sunday morning, and so then on Wednesday night, I said, okay, so who did we talk about on Sunday morning? And she would make clothes for people, and Jacob Woodside goes, Doofus! I will never forget that. And he was probably 4, and he's, you know, 15 now, so
yeah.
You don't forget those fun stories.
I know that we're going to run out of time to get everybody, but is there somebody that really wants to speak up? I mean, Patty, you've got Jody coming. Dawn, I don't know. Your mom is always such a great help in teaching, Dawn.
Well, I also have many memories of, you know, I've been at Folsom off and on since 85, so I watched all these kids grow up, and I remember teaching Jolie Tarrant in class. We were singing the B-I-B-L-E, and she couldn't sing it. She'd go, a B. A bee, 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 bee. You know, and I taught a lot with Ann Sexton at the time. Some of you may know her. And it was really great as a young person, just not even out of high school, and having someone that can help you teach. You can teach with them, and they can teach you. So that's really helpful.
Jenny. I know, I'm skipping Peggy. I'm sorry, do you want to say something, Peggy?
Well, I think Jody kind of covered it, but I've been teaching since I was 15, and the best thing I do, I will say this, the best thing my parents ever did was to allow me to teach, you know, one quarter a year, you know, out of my, when I was in high school, because I've taught everywhere I've been. You know, it's been 35 years that I've been teaching. It's just second nature. I've taught every congregation I've been, even when I was in college at Florida, I taught there. So it's, you know, I'm so grateful for that. Experience, because it's gone a long way.
Yes, thank you. So, it's a wonderful experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And sometimes, at the end of the quarter, I'll say, oh, I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
Jenny?
I don't have much to add, but I appreciate all the comments, and just like you find an ally with the teacher, you know, a friend that you want to teach with again. I've also found it's good to sign up with someone maybe you don't know as well as your congregation. It gives you a chance to get to know that person better.
Perfect.
And I'm usually pleasantly surprised with how much I learn from them too.
I know all of you back here have taught, and I appreciate so much Dewey and all of you ladies. And I've taught with Joanne. She's great. I've not taught with everybody, but there's been such a blessing to be here. And I just think that this is going to be so great. This has been something that we've been trying to get going for quite a few years. Sharon has tried to get it going. And I think the elders are really excited. And there'll be some things maybe that will change, that will add to it. If you have any thoughts or ideas, please write them down and let us know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Done.